My front porch swing, a glass of lemonade, a baby on my knee, I think I got it made. You best be believing, I'm never leaving evening shade. Got a southern breeze singing through the pines, cool as a julep in the summertime. You best be believing, I'm never leaving evening shade. They got 10-cent stores, no locks on the doors, and everybody knows your name. They got Sunday school, the golden rule, and every day that passes is slower than molasses, and you can't help but smile lying in the shade. So come on down and you'll be glad you stayed. Don't talk about leaving, I'm never leaving evening shade.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again by Steph DeWagoner.
I can't believe I'm back here again so soon.
Yes, and you're going to be back even sooner.
I can't believe it.
It's Christmas time. I thought I would do a Christmas episode of Evening Shade.
Okay.
From the first season. I don't know. This was on for like five seasons
on CBS, I believe. Four or five seasons.
Four or five seasons. So it was on for quite a while. Nostalgia must be a powerful thing because I remember it being much better. This episode was bad.
No, and okay, so this is from Linda Bloodworth Thompson,
yes,
the creator of Designing Women. And this was kind of mid Designing Women, this series comes out. So this is when CBS kind of was having these. It wasn't the same thing as CBS back in the 60s when they had Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres and the rural comedies. This was what I would call CBS's like high-end southern comedies,
yes.
I guess. High-end political.
It was the opposite of the Beverly Hillbillies. It was like sitcoms set in the South where the people aren't Jethro.
Right, right, right. It's more like high-end and it's a lot of socio-political commentary,
yes,
hidden under this kind of eccentric group of Southern friends.
Right. And this sitcom has more actors than a Mad, 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 Mad World. It was...
I know, for the level of actors in this, I was surprised at how, like, this episode was not good.
No.
But I also think in the second season they tweaked the show because this is still being, like, filmed. And I think they change it in the second season. I did something different for this podcast that I normally haven't done, like what we've done on, for example, on your Dan Aykroyd podcast, mm-hmm, when we've done episodes of Soul Man. I've just watched that episode and then maybe watch one, mm-hmm, later. This time, I wasn't as familiar with this sitcom, so I watched the first episode just so I would have the groundwork of kind of, mm-hmm, the situation, and then watched this, which is supposed to be the 11th episode. And I was all excited when you first asked me to watch this because it's on Prime. It's on Amazon Prime. The problem is there's like 8 or 10 episodes missing. They don't have all 25 episodes. They've plucked 10 of them, and this is one of them. So I had to go to YouTube to watch this. It's not available on Prime, which threw me off because I was counting and looking. So this is from 1990, Burt Reynolds' TV vehicle, his,
yes,
sitcom. And this is from the first season, and it's about midway through the first season. It's Christmas of 1990.
Mm. So the gist is Burt Reynolds is a high school coach. It's set in Florida. His wife is Mary Lou Henner.
I love Mary Lou Henner and loved her on Taxi, read her books, read it. So I was super happy to see her in this, but even she is not good in this.
No. And they're married.
She's about 16 years younger than him.
Bert's family is decorating the tree, and it's set up that they have three kids, and she's pregnant, so they have one.
The whole first season is about how she's this high-end attorney, but she's pregnant.
Yes.
Like, she's a public defender or public,
right,
or not a public defender, a district attorney.
If I'm correct, if it's not in the first season, Bert had a vasectomy, but Charles Durning, who's his doctor and friend, did a bad job, so the vasectomy didn't take.
Because she's pregnant already in, like, the first episode.
Yes.
Yeah. She's younger than him, though, because he's like 54, 55 in this, and she's about 38, and they don't ever explain how they have this, like, 15-year-old son. You know, like, she must have got pregnant right off the bat when they got married.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's this big district attorney, career woman, travels. Mm. She's out of town all the time, so he's stuck with the kids a lot.
There's three kids. There's one that's young, but the two older ones are like, I want this, and I want that.
Right. So there's a 14, 15-year-old boy, a 10-year-old girl, and then there's a 4-year-old boy.
Yes.
So they kind of got all age.
The 4-year-old boy has a glorious mullet.
He does.
A glorious mullet.
He does.
And it comes out that the 4-year-old doesn't believe in Santa.
Right. I wrote down jaded 4-year-old.
Does anybody remember if Grandma Newton got a bathrobe for last Christmas?
How would we know? We don't keep track of stuff like that.
I keep forgetting that I'm talking to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Pigs of Christmas.
Hey, you don't have to get cranky about it. We just want our share.
Your share?
Yeah.
Taylor, Christmas morning, there's going to be so many presents under the tree that we could give them to half the children of the third world. Not to mention all the stuff that Santa's going to bring.
Yeah, right.
What is this yeah, right stuff?
Dad, I know Santa Claus is not real.
Where'd you get that idea?
Because a kid can get around the whole world in one night unless he has help from somebody else.
Like who?
Federal Express.
Well, that's what you know. Santa has the fastest sleigh in the world.
Anyways, if there is a Santa, why can't I have a dog?
Because we already have a dog. And Santa feels that two dogs would be too many.
Well, hey, Brownie's getting old. Why does Santa care? He didn't have to take care of him.
Because Santa is a personal friend of your mother's and mine, and Santa thinks that one dog is enough, and we don't want to make Santa angry, do we?
And he's supposed to be, they establish him as being some kind of a genius kid early on in the season, and early on in the show too, so I'm not sure.
Bert tries to convince the 4-year-old, no, Santa's real, and then Mary Lou comes down, and so Mary Lou Henner's father in the sitcom is Hal Holbrook, who's in Iraq because he's a newsman.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had to do a little looking because Hal Holbrook would pop up on Designing Women every once in a while.
Well, he was married to Dixie Carter.
Right, and he would play Dixie Carter's boyfriend, who was an attorney. And so I was like, oh, I guess he was kind of double-dipping both shows. But yeah, he's sort of her, he gets along with Burt Reynolds, you know, as an in-law, they get along well. Burt Reynolds' character's name is Wood, right?
Woody, yeah.
Wood, and so it's called The Wood Who Stole Christmas. So yeah, they get along, but he's not really in this episode.
No.
You only see him in some tape.
From what I've gathered, Hal Holbrook, is dating the town stripper.
Yes. And they established that in the first season too.
And she is much younger.
This is like Burt Reynolds surrounded by all these, Burt Reynolds and Mary Lou Henner surrounded by all these just eclectic Southern characters.
Right.
Everybody's a little off.
Yes.
The doctor's Charles Durning, he's a little off. Mm. The stripper's this big, loud, flamboyant stripper. Hal Holbrook's, the character of Hal Holbrook's sister and Mary Lou Henner's aunt, Aunt Frida, she is eccentric and big. And in fact, I wrote down, so she's played by Elizabeth. Should I write it down? Great actress.
Yeah.
She was old Suzanne Sugarbaker. She was basically playing if Suzanne Sugarbaker was somebody's old matron aunt. Didn't you find Burt Reynolds just kind of flat?
Yeah.
He's flat.
He's flat through
it. His delivery's flat.
So after the opening scene, we cut to, there's this cafe where they all meet. It's the meeting spot. And this is, so we're introduced to Charles Durning and Ozzie Davis and Michael Jeter. So, and apparently there is a guy in town named Dub or Bub.
Nub.
Who is...
Is that Jeter's brother or
no,
something?
No. He's just slow.
And I find that funny. Like, there's no way you could put that character on a sitcom now. But Linda Bloodworth Thompson and her husband or whatever, they did a sitcom for Delta Burke called Women of the House, where Delta Burke, Suzanne Sugarbaker, takes over her dead husband's Congress seat. Mm. And, you know, Jonathan Banks from Wise Guy, yeah. You know, kind of crotchety character actor. He plays a character like that in Women of the House. And I was like, what is with Linda Bloodworth Thompson in this, like, simpleton character? It's weird because he's like Nub is best pals with the four-year-old. It's creepy.
Well, every year, Nub mails a letter to Santa. They intercept it at the post office, and whatever he asks for, they get him. Well, Nub has been hanging around with the four-year-old. The four-year-old has let Nub know that Santa doesn't exist. What we forgot to mention before is the reason the four-year-old doesn't think Santa exists is earlier in the year, he lost a tooth. He didn't tell his parents that he lost his tooth. He put the tooth under the pillow. When the tooth was still there in the morning, he realized the tooth fairy doesn't exist. So he is periodically going through each season doing experiments, I guess because he's a genius.
Do you have a problem with... We've done this before. I think we talked about another show. Might have been Soul Man on your other Dan Aykroyd podcast. Where they just blatantly are debating whether Santa exists on these primetime sitcoms. Like, does it bug you at all that kids could have been watching this and now would have been like, there's no Santa?
You know what? I never thought of that. But yeah, that is...
It kind of bugs me.
That is a good point. So what the four-year-old has done, he's told his parents that he wants a Nintendo, but he has secretly told Santa that he wants it to snow.
Right.
They're in Florida.
Right. The oldest kid, Taylor, the teenage, has advised Burt Reynolds and Mary Lou Henner, this is what's up. By the way, Taylor, J.R. Ferguson, that plays Taylor, a lot of these kids you see on these sitcoms, you never see them again, right? Mm-hmm. They're never in anything. He actually ended up having a good career. He was on Mad Men. He plays a main character on The Conners. Now he plays Ben on The Conners. Because I was looking at him like, he looks familiar. So
now I'm going to say something very, very un-Christmassy. Bert and Mary Lou are talking. The phone rings, and she's like, "Oh no!" And there's another thing we forgot. And she's like, "My client, he got arrested for shoplifting, and he has. You should see how they live. And he has seven kids. It's like, okay, if you can't support, don't have seven kids. If you can't support, so he's been going around shoplifting at all the stores to get Christmas presents for the kids.
Did you think that was a pretty heavy-handed
plot? Heavy? No, that was just like slam.
Anybody knows where this is going.
Yes. Like, oh no. There are no surprises in this episode.
Burt Reynolds is already frustrated that all the kids are whining and asking for materialistic things.
The young one wants it to snow. How are we going to make it snow? So yeah, there's no surprises.
Right.
Like we said, Hal Holbrook is in Iraq, and they were doing, it's like, oh, I saw your dad on CNN, and he just said hello to the stripper.
Right, they're doing like soldiers with special messages home for the holidays, and so Mary Lou Henner's disappointed that her father didn't say anything about them, but she's also disappointed that the kids couldn't take 2 seconds to make a homemade Christmas card for their grandfather.
Well, at first she said, this is the first Christmas without Daddy. I'm like, is he dead? No.
So, right, I got confused for a second.
Yeah, I got confused for a second,
too. Because I was like, well, wait a minute. Burt Reynolds' character's father died like 30 years prior. So, yeah, that confused me for a second, too.
So, we're back. We've established that Nub doesn't believe in Christmas. So, Burt Reynolds comes up with the idea, hey, I know a person that has a snowmaker. I'll get that. And Ozzy and Charles Durning, you go get it.
Why did he say, because they said, how do you know, why did he know somebody that had a snowmaker? I can't remember why.
He didn't say. He goes, like, don't worry about it or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah, that he had the snow, could make fake snow. I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, to make like, oh, because it was for a car commercial.
It was a car commercial, yes.
Like, he knew somebody who used it for a car.
And then, and there's this, like you said, they're all being eccentric. And Charles Durning usually plays, he would play Santa. And he's like, well, they want to have a different image of Santa, so they hired a slim Santa. And then he goes on to say, like, why do they think just because you're a fat man, you want to play Santa? You know, do they go up to Bucktooth people and ask them to play the Easter Bunny?
I really do think that you should go ahead and play Santa Claus again this year. I mean, come on, have some Christmas spirit.
Merlin, I had the Christmas spirit, and they killed it. Besides, I'm upset because everybody assumes that just because I'm fat, I'm jolly.
I don't think anybody assumes that.
Yes, they do. Everybody takes fat people for granted. I mean, like, just assuming that just because We're fat, we like to play Santa Claus. I don't see anybody going around asking buck-toothed people to be the Easter Bunny.
And, you know, that's an old joke.
You know what I'm starting to think, though? Your podcasts are all starting to interconnect and the wires are all starting to cross, because I know you did Bessel Whorehouse in Texas and Charles Durning's in that.
Yeah.
And his doctor character in Evening Shade reminds me a little bit of the governor from Bessel Whorehouse in Texas. Just kind of this good old jolly, you know, character.
And he's married to an eccentric woman.
Right. He's married to Anne Wedgeworth,
yes,
who is a character actress, yes, that people would know from Three's Company. Mm-hmm. She was in Steel Magnolias. Yep. She always plays this kind of vapid Southern, like, you think she, at one point she was this hottie, you know, but now she's this kind of middle-aged. She really came into her own as like a 40-year-old actress. You know Anne Wedgeworth.
Yes,
you've seen her in a ton of things.
All these actors, if you saw them, you would recognize them.
Yeah, she's the aunt in Steel Magnolia that makes the armadillo cake with the red velvet that you cut into, and it looks like it's a bleeding armadillo. Like, you totally know who she is.
Then we cut back to the house, and then the kids are
just totally ramped up on, you know, did you get me this? Did I get this? Yeah. Is that under the tree? And there's all these presents under the tree.
And then the kid says something. Which he says something to Burt Reynolds. It's like, you're old. You're going to die soon. We have a whole life. Why would you say that to your father?
Right.
That is, and it's not like he's 14, 15. To say, and not being mad, you know, I hope you die. They're in a fight. He's like, you don't need stuff, Dad, because you're going to die soon. It's like that was, and then he sends them all to their room.
He is mad. He sends them to bed. He said, I've had it with this greed and I've had it with this. Sends them all to bed.
And then he takes all of their presents and gives them, it's like, I'm taking them to the poor person's house.
Right. Mary Lou Henner's client, the poor family. He loads up all the presents. And now the not Aunt Frida, the doctor's wife,
yes,
Anne Wedgeworth, she comes and drops a little present off and thinks, oh no, they don't have any gifts.
Yes.
There she goes, I didn't know you'd fallen on hard times. And, you know, it's...
And then the stripper shows up, who must be 12 feet tall, because she was just towering over everybody.
Tall, big boobs.
Yeah. And she's like, I have the unedited version of what your father said.
Right. Somehow she got the, like, news tape that wasn't edited, right?
Yes. Apparently she got that.
Who knows?
4 hours after it aired.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how that would have happened, but they put the VHS into the machine, and it's Hal Holbrook in an awful green screen.
Yes.
It's terrible. I mean, it was just...
Hal Holbrook is sitting in some newsroom, some news bureau in Iraq, but it looks really bad.
You know, he thanked the stripper first, but then he's like, my sister and my grandchildren and my daughter, and so he thanked everybody, and they edited it.
And Mary Lou Henner's all touched when she sees that.
Then they have the snow machine.
And it's a dud.
And it's a dud. It's like... It's just, as Michael Jeter, it looks like whale spit. And the one thing that got a chuckle out of me is they've got a snow machine, and then Nub comes by, and they all turn to cover it, so it all looks like they're taking a leak.
Yes.
And that was mildly funny.
That was.
And Nub's like, you guys writing your name in your snow? And he's like, no, it's just, what's that? And he goes, oh, that's a mulcher. He goes, really? Looks like a snow machine to me.
Why do all these towns have the central Christmas tree that everybody lights on Christmas Eve? Don't they know that towns do this like the day after Thanksgiving? Nobody lights the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve.
One of the traditions in Evening Shade is Nub would always put the star on top of the tree. Well, now that he doesn't believe in Santa, he doesn't want to do it. The tree is up, and they're trying to convince Nub to put the star on top of the tree. And then all the poor kids... Now, by the way, those kids would have been livid if they came downstairs and all those presents were gone.
I did think it was kind of a nice little way to handle it, though, because Burt Reynolds must have put tags on them that said, like, to, you know, Tommy Poor Kid from... Taylor...
Rich Kid.
Right. And because they had a nice little scene where the older boy, kind of the mirror image, says, wow, thanks for the Nintendo, or thanks for whatever it was. That was so nice. That's the nicest thing I ever had. And the guy's, well, have you ever gotten any Christmas presents before? And the kid goes, no.
See, now, to me, it would have worked better if the kid was angry.
So you're saying you think it would have worked better.
It would have worked better if the kids would have come down and they would have been livid.
Yeah, we didn't have a scene like that, right?
That they gave the presents away. And then he says, thank you for the stereo. I think that scene would have worked better.
You're right. We didn't get a scene
We didn't
like that.
Get a scene of the kids being angry. It would have had a bigger impact, in my opinion.
I thought the end was weird. It was confusing to me, the whole thing, because all of a sudden we went from, like, the kids being sent to bed, and then the guys were playing with the snow machine, and then we were at this other, like, to me it was all kind of jumbled.
And then they're like, Nub, put the star up, Nub. And he's like, I can't do it if Santa doesn't exist. And then Bert's like, well, you know, maybe Santa doesn't exist the way you think he does, but then, and then while this is happening, it starts to snow.
I just can't be a party to this now that I know there's no Santa Claus.
Oh, no, there is a Santa Claus. He may not be the Santa Claus you're looking for.
What do you mean?
Well, but, I mean, he may not be a Santa Claus that looks and talks to you like Harlan, but for me, the big guy up in the North Pole, he can make almost any wish come true.
Hey, would you look at that? I'll be darned. Now we're in business.
Hey, Nub, look, it's starting to snow. There is a Santa Claus, there is.
Which everybody knew that was going to happen.
Right, I wrote, and it snows.
And it snows. So Nub and the four-year-old, now their belief in Santa has been restored. Nub puts the star on top of the tree. They all sing Christmas carols. And then that is the
end. And Nub takes the four-year-old for a ride in his wagon.
Yes. The four-year-old and a dog? Yes. Because the poor people can't have a dog in their house. So they gave it to Burt Reynolds. And he brought it home because earlier in the episode, the kids wanted another dog.
Oh, that's right.
It's the four-year-old, a dog, and Nub. And yes, it's just really weird that the town simpleton and the four-year-old are best friends.
It sounds like it's a heartwarming holiday episode, but honestly, it's not that good. It's not executed very
well. No, it's not executed very well. It's bland, and you meet the poor family for like 20 seconds. You have no connection with them because you don't meet them earlier in the episode. You don't see how they live.
I was wondering, because I don't really remember this show being in syndication either. And there's 99 episodes of it. And I was like, well, how many? Don't you need 100?
You need 100 for... No, you need 100 for residuals.
But apparently it was syndicated on like USA or something else. And so apparently there are people who fondly remember this show and remember it being in syndication. You know, like we always say, if you're a Burt Reynolds fan, it's worth checking out. Like I say, it is on Prime, but it's just not all the episodes. I feel like the show got better.
This is the first season. There's a ton of great character actors and actresses in it. There's nothing different about this Christmas episode that stands out. You see all of the tropes, and they do no variations on the tropes. It's just not a very good episode.
I feel like there's probably better episodes of this show to watch.
Oh,
there's always a little tinkering after the first season.
I'm sure there is.
Mary Lou Henner, you know, I was also curious, like, what she felt about Burt Reynolds. She's always very candid. You know, Mary Lou Henner has this. She's
the
one of 12 people in the world who has this, like, hypo something brain that literally can remember every detail of her life. And she loved Burt Reynolds, thought that he was very generous. She speaks very fondly of him. So yeah.
This was the curly toupee.
Yeah. This is not Burt Reynolds' best toupee.
No. Yeah. This is the curly toupee
where he's trying to like age. It's a little gray-ish, but yeah, it's not his best toupee. It's the Carl Perkins toupee. That's what I call it. That's what I call it. It looks like Carl Perkins' toupee.
And that's it. I can't recommend it. It's just not.
Yeah. Check out the series, but this isn't my.
Even if the acting was better.
No, there's much funnier. Like, Everybody Loves Raymond, they do one where Allie asks about Santa, so they all end up showing it up in Santa suits. That's funnier.
Which is exactly what happens in the Addams Family.
Right.
The Addams Family has a wonderful Christmas episode.
We get special participation this time in this episode from my dog Daisy, from my cat Max, from my... Actually, my dog Sawyer is being quiet for once, but Daisy and Max are contributing. So if you hear Daisy and Max, just know that there's a Pomeranian and a big chubby cat that are also contributing to the content today.
All right, and that is it. So this is going to be the last episode of this year. Merry Christmas, everybody. Anything you want to promote or say?
No. Just thanks to everybody for listening this year. And if there's things about content about Burt Reynolds or something you want to hear, let Scott know, message and make sure that you are liking giving good ratings for the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast so we can keep making more episodes.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll see everybody here next year on the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
Happy holidays.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. This should help people find the podcast when they're searching. No matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
And now, as Mr. Nub Oliver places our star, we'll have the lighting of our tree.
Where the treetops glisten and children.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas from Evening Shade.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.